And now, Don Blackwell.
I want to begin today by asking you a question, and that is this. Have you really read the book of Revelation? This particular book is probably the most misunderstood and most misapplied book in all of the Bible. False teachers of every kind seek to find support for their speculations in its pages. The premillennialists rely on Revelation more than any other book in their attempt to find scriptural support for their system of theology. Some have even thought they've seen UFOs in the book of Revelation. Some take the book completely literally and believe that there is going to be a literal battle on the earth that's going to take place between good and evil, in which there will literally be blood up to the horses' bridles. Does Revelation really teach all of these bizarre and sensational things, or is it being misinterpreted? In today's lesson, we're going to study an introduction to the book of Revelation, and we're going to deal with some very basic information to help us to more properly understand this book. First, I want to talk about the title of the book of Revelation. The title of this book is found in the very first verse of the book. This book begins with the words, "The Revelation." And I want you to notice the book is called Revelation and not Revelations, not plural. The Greek word here for revelation is apokalypsis, which means an uncovering, a laying bare, or making naked. The very name of the book tells us something about what it's going to contain. The book of Revelation is a book that will expose something. It will uncover some information for its recipients. Now notice the next few words of verse number 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him. Friends, this seems to indicate that God first gave the revelation to Christ, who then gave it to His servants. Now, secondly, let's talk about the author of this book. This is a fairly straightforward point. The author of the book of Revelation was the Apostle John, and very few people would even try to dispute that. John identifies himself at the end of the very first verse. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show His servants, things that must shortly take place. And He sent and signified it by His angel to His servant, John. Now the question that might arise is, was this John the Apostle or some other John? But the evidence is very strong that John the Apostle is the author. And even today, most scholars agree upon this fact. Internal evidence is in favor of it. External evidence supports it. And tradition favors it as well. There's no reason to believe that John is not the author of the book of Revelation. Next, I want to talk about the place where this book was written. In Revelation chapter 1 and verse 9, John wrote, "I, John, both your brother and companion in the tribulation and kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was on the island that is called Patmos for the Word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ." Now notice where John said that he was, the island of Patmos. The island of Patmos was a small island, about 10 miles long and about 6 miles wide at its widest point. It's located off the coast of Asia Minor. It was a very unpleasant place, and history tells us that it was a place that the Romans used to exile criminals. And this seems to be the reason why John was here. He was in exile. John says that he was on Patmos for the Word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. In other words, John got sent there as punishment for his stand as a Christian and as a gospel preacher. Notice also that in verse 9, John calls himself your brother and companion in tribulation. Friends, John was suffering for the cause of Christ, but he wasn't alone. He said, "I am your brother and companion." Now, this is very important when it comes to understanding this particular book. Another very, very critical issue concerning the book of Revelation is its date. When was this book written? This is very important when it comes to an actual understanding of the book. And there's a tremendous amount of disagreement concerning when this book was written. Most everyone, however, would fall into one of two categories. They are either in favor of an early date or a late date. Now, those holding to the early date believe the book of Revelation was written between A.D. 64 and 68, during the time of the Emperor Nero. Those holding to the late date would say that it was written between A.D. 91 and 96, during the time of Domitian. But the majority of people and scholars hold that the late date is probably the most accurate. And they would say that it was in the A.D. 90s, very likely, when John wrote the book of Revelation. Okay, the next point. The next point that I want to spend some time on, and more time than we have on these previous points, is going to deal with something that's going to affect our total understanding of the book. The next point deals with symbolism. Because, friends, you see, the book of Revelation is written primarily in symbolic language. This is very important that we understand this at the beginning. If you'll look back at Revelation chapter 1 and verse number 1, the Bible says, "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave Him to show His servants things which must shortly take place, and He sent and signified it by His angel to His servant John." Now, what does this mean when the Bible says that He signified it? Friends, it simply means that this revelation was expressed by signs. You can see the word sign in the word signified. It was expressed by a sign or a symbol representing something. Now, from time to time, you may meet a person who believes that the book of Revelation is completely a literal book. And if someone believes that, he's going to have a very interesting, indeed a very wild interpretation of the book. For instance, in Revelation chapter 5 and verse 6, Christ is identified as a lamb that had been slain. Now, is Christ a literal, physical lamb? Is that what the Bible is telling us? Of course not. Or should we understand that this is figurative language in which He is represented? He's represented as a lamb because of some common characteristic that He has. In chapter 5 and verse 5, Christ is called the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Now, was Christ a literal lion? Was He ever in the past, or will He ever in the future be a literal lion? Or is that a message that the Lord is trying to communicate to us to indicate a similar characteristic, a quality that He has? In chapter 22 and verse 16, Christ is referred to as the bright and the morning star. Is that a literal star? Is Christ a literal star like we would look up into the sky and see at night? Friends, the answer is no. All of these references are symbolic, and they tell us something about the characteristic of deity. In Revelation chapter 12 and verse 9, the Bible says, "So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world." Now, we are told there that Satan is a dragon. Is Satan a literal dragon? Are we to understand that that is his physical characteristics? Or is a figure being employed here to convey to us the character of this wicked one? He's like a dragon. Is Satan a literal physical dragon? If so, does that pose a problem with Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12, which says this, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against the spiritual host of wickedness in heavenly places." Friends, one of the first things that we must understand when we approach the book of Revelation is that it uses symbolic and apocalyptic language. If a person won't first accept that, then an understanding of this book is going to be hopeless. Could you imagine trying to understand the Bible if you refuse to ever accept figurative and symbolic language? You know, in Luke chapter 13 and verse 32, Christ was speaking about Herod, and He referred to him as a fox. He said, "Go tell that fox." Is Herod a literal fox? Of course not. We understand that Christ was employing a figure of speech. You remember that John said that this revelation had been signified unto him. Chapter 1 and verse 1. Along with this thought of symbolism, a very important key to understanding the book of Revelation is to know that numbers are used symbolically in this book. For instance, the number 1. Let's talk about the number 1. The number 1 seems to represent unity in the book of Revelation. It symbolizes that. It signifies. Remember the signs and the symbolism. And you know that makes sense to us. We might have a group of people who function as one. In other words, they have unity or they are unified in their actions. The number 2 in the book of Revelation seems to signify strength. It represents something that is strong. After all, 2 are better, stronger than 1. The number 3 seems to be indicative of completeness or wholeness. This number has always seemed to have a special significance in the Bible. There are 3 in the perfect Godhead. 3 seems to be the divine number. You remember that there were 3 patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Consider with me the number 6. The number 6 falls short of 7, which indicates perfection or completeness. And so 6 is a number that is destined to fail. In Revelation 13, 16 through 18, the number 666 is given, and it's said to be the mark of the beast. You see, the number 6 is the number that is imperfect. And here the imperfect number is used in triplicate. And so we have something particularly evil. In Revelation 20 and verse 4 and also verse 5, we're told about those who had not received the mark of the beast on their foreheads, living and reigning with Christ. Are we to conclude that there is going to be a literal physical numbering of people's foreheads with the number 666, and that somehow that is going to keep people from being with Christ at the end of time? Or are we to conclude that this number represents imperfection and sinfulness, and that he that is not marked by these characteristics is going to live and reign with Christ? Friends, can you see why it is so important to reasonably interpret the symbolism of this book? Consider with me the number 7. 7 seems to represent perfection or completeness. We read in the book of Revelation about the 7 churches of Asia, about the 7 spirits, the 7 lampstands, the 7 stars, the 7 seals. In fact, the book of Revelation uses the number 7 54 times. The number 10 seems to represent a rounded number. Multiples of 10 seem to refer to unlimited fullness in this book. The number 12 is like a special religious number. It seems to carry a religious idea. There were 12 tribes of Israel. There were 12 apostles. The number 3.5. The number 3.5 seems to indicate persecution and oppression. And so with these things in mind, how do we interpret this book? When it comes to interpreting the book of Revelation, there are really about 4 different approaches that I'm aware of. The first approach is called the futurist approach. This view holds that chapters 1 through 3 apply to the church in John's day, but that chapters 4 through 19 apply to conditions right before the appearance of Christ. This view says that Christ is going to return to this earth and that He is going to sit on the throne of David and reign for 1,000 years over an earthly kingdom. Friends, this view is certainly false because it contradicts other passages of Scripture. Hebrews chapter 8, 1 through 4, along with Zechariah 6 and verse 13, teach us that Christ cannot rule on this earth on a literal throne. A second view that some hold in relation to the book of Revelation is the continuous historical view. This view believes that the book of Revelation is a prediction of things that began to be fulfilled in John's time and continued even now to be fulfilled. It would say that the parts of the book that have been there are parts of the book that have been fulfilled and parts of the book that have not been. But this system of interpretation becomes highly speculative, and it leaves people constantly changing their interpretation as events in the world change. This view would see the rise of the Roman Catholic Church and Mohammedism and many other things that have taken place in history. The third view I want to mention is the philosophy of history. This view sees in Revelation a book representing good and evil forces represented symbolically. This philosophy would not see specific people or events at all. This view is better than the previous two I mentioned, but it still has some problems. The next view I want to mention is called the preterist view. The preterist interpreter would say that Revelation was written primarily for the people who were living in John's day, and that most of it was fulfilled in that time period. It takes real events of that time and tells the story of them using symbols and symbolic language. Homer Haley suggests three rules to help us study and understand the book of Revelation. Ask yourself, first, he says, what these things in this book meant to the people of John's day when they read it. Very good question. See, you need to get an understanding of the Old Testament, especially the prophets, Ezekiel, Daniel, and Zechariah, and use their symbols to help us to understand the book of Revelation. Your interpretation also must be consistent with clear teachings of the Bible. And I heard one preacher say this. He said, when you're trying to understand the symbolism in Revelation, ask yourself what an average, ordinary Christian in the first century would have understood. Would he have understood this? If not, then you do not have a proper understanding. If you think that you're seeing helicopters and computers and chemical warfare, then you need to reevaluate your view. The book of Revelation is a book of victory. My friends, it is a book of victory only for those who have answered the call of God and have endured with Him to the end. The book of Revelation is such a precious book because it tells us that those who will serve the Lord faithfully, those who will endure to the end, those who are His servants will come out as victorious. And you know, we really need that encouragement. Those who are members of the Church of Christ, those who are striving in this life, oftentimes suffer persecution. Many times we face difficulties and opposition. We're living in a world where morality has largely gone out the window with many people. And because of that, the Christian sometimes can somewhat feel defeated. And so we can read the book of Revelation, and it gives us hope. It gives us encouragement. It gives us strength. But we need to have a proper understanding of this book, because many people have turned to it to support many strange and false and wild doctrines that have come about. Friends, you need to know the saints of the Lord will be victorious.